a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Mission Outreach to the Homeless and Poor in Wichita, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 17, 2007. First, a few notes. First note, I'm going to have to do something about how I announce that. But anyway, we're down here from the new building in Wichita. We're trying to get things done, so praise the Lord, bear with us. Anyway, first a few notes. Let's make sure you have your pens handy at 7:50 so you can get our guest web and contact information.
Hello.
Also, of course, there's a station break at 7:28 p.m. We always have a station break except when special things are happening. Anyway, if you wish to be a guest on this program, call me or email me with your information, and we'll even take people out of the country, depending on where you're at. But email us and let us know where you're at and what your message is. Now we'll do an update on the Mission Church building for the homeless and poor outreach in Wichita. First, an update on this new building. Okay, as I said, we're coming live from the new building. The background tonight, you may hear saws or other noise as we're working overtime to get this place ready to move into. We have to be out of the old place before June 1st, so we are in the final stretch. We still have not raised all the money needed to finish, so please pray about a donation tonight so we don't run out of materials. And people, you know, I get people are watching this work of faith from all over the world. I get emails from all over saying it's such a blessing to see faith work and everything. And so consider, if you're supposed to help with this, pray about it and help if you can. You can donate online by PayPal, or you can find our mailing address at our website, which is simply messiahsbranch.org, and you find some other interesting stuff over there. I have to admit the site doesn't get updated too much except for the radio programs, but when I get done with this project, I've got a lot of things I'm going to update it on, but most of my time has been spent over here working on this building, and believe me, folks, it's a miracle. When we started, we had $1,000 in our pocket for the down payment, and that was just really it. After that, we prayed in over, my guess is somewhere over $12,000, plus an $8,000 or $10,000 donation of electrical work that's going to be done. We're still praying in for a plumber, though, maybe even a sign painter, but it's coming along. But anyway, for the record, while we're in general agreement with most of our guests, we're clearly not in 100% agreement with all of them. It's time you take what they say to prayer and then decide it for yourself. If I had a people only on that I agreed with, it would make for controlled media, and we really don't want that, do we? We want all of you that are listening all over the world, we thank all of you and all the folks that are home here in the USA and here in Kansas. And I want to say thanks to my special friend in Derby that helped me, has been helping us out. Praise the Lord, Dan. Be blessed. Saints, we all got to stick together. We need to come together. The body of Messiah needs to come together because we are in that time of the end. The world is in such turmoil, and so it's time to come out of the world, Babylon, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. And I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. Praise the Lord. Now let's have a prayer. And again, our website is messiahsbranch.org. You can Google it and find it easy. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out and not what I want. And I thank you so much for our time with the world this week. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us, I think it was twice before. He wrote the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. What a name for a book. By the way, I just got it in the mail, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. During one of the programs, I don't know whether he brought it up, I brought it up, or both of us brought it up, we brought up something about the Feast of the Lord. And I said, well, maybe you could come back later and we could speak on them. Well, later, people that had listened to the program made requests for him to do this. So, tonight, back by popular request, is the author and radio show host, Richard Perry, here to talk with us on the Feast of the Lord. Welcome, Richard.
Hello, Pastor Dan. Good to be back on your show.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm getting more and more familiar with you all the time, and I'm very comfortable to have you back on and enjoying it. And first, I got to say this about your book so I can have, I'm going to give you some free advertisement, but this book came into the mail, I think it was last Thursday, and when I got home from Friday night, which is about 1 o'clock, I picked it up and started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. And I haven't read it all yet, but I think I've made it about halfway through because of all the time that I've had. But amazingly, you put things in such simplicity and point things out. This is a book I believe everybody should get. It is a companion guide to go along with your Bible, especially for this topic that we're going to talk about tonight, the Feast of the Lord. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know really how we should get started into the feast here, so I'm sure you have prepared yourself, because I told you earlier this week we was ready. Besides, they don't really want to hear me talk. They want to hear you talk anyway.
Well, if you know, I just want to let people know that I've got a lot of information about the Feast of the Lord and how that fits into prophecy on my website, which is www.lastdaysmystery.info.
Right.
And they can find a lot of information on there. But, you know, one of the things that probably is first to kind of acknowledge is that in Hebrew, a feast, the feast, the word for feast actually means appointed time, which kind of gives you an indication of the feast. Of course, if you read about the feast in the law, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you know, you see that the Lord describes these as remembrances to what he did in terms of bringing Israel out of Egypt. You know, and it started, of course, with the Passover, and then it went through the Exodus, you know, all the way, you know, through the fall feast of Tabernacles, which was representative of their living in tents, you know, as they were going through the desert and the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, I've reflected on these feasts, and I said, you know, maybe it might be a little hard to see the prophetic significance, you know, for the Jews in terms of, you know, they were looking at these things as remembrances, even though these things were appointed times. You know, they could have maybe seen the prophetic significance of these in some sense. But, you know, for us, for the church that has, you know, seen the fulfillment of the first four feasts of the Lord, you know, we should be particularly alert to their significance, because we see Christ at his first coming, fulfilled the, you know, as the Passover lamb himself fulfilled the Passover,
right?
You know, and that and his representation as, you know, the bread of life, the unleavened bread, you know, kind of gives us that picture of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then, of course, he fulfills the an aspect of the first fruits, as he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And then, ultimately, you know, what we see in terms of the fourth feast, which is the Feast of Weeks, when which we refer to as Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given and the church basically got its inauguration. You know, clearly, those feasts have significance to the New Testament church, and depict the first advent or the first coming of the Messiah. With that in mind, it's amazing to me that how many of people in the church don't even know what the last three feasts are.
Amen. Let's hang on Pentecost here for a minute, just because it's coming next week.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You know, one of the main things about Pentecost that you know, as you said, now we celebrate it because Messiah, you know, sent the Holy Spirit to us, of course, but we celebrated it anyway because that was when the commandments was given to us on Mount Sinai.
Amen.
You know, and kind of an amazing fact, I think, if you read the account of the giving of the law, you remember that Moses came down from the mountain and, you know, the people were already in sin. And it says that when he told them to go throughout the camp with a sword, you know, and kill every man his brother and every man his neighbor, there was about 3,000 that died that day. And then when you come up to when the Holy Spirit was given and Peter stepped outside and preached, you know what number was added to the church that day?
3,000.
About 3,000. And I'm sure that is no coincidence. To me, that shows us how that before Messiah came, there was the part that was against us, the death penalty, was still there. But now the death penalty has passed from us, and so that we can go on and have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
One little scripture, and I'm going to let you go on because I did prepare a little bit, yuck yuck, for this. I want to point this out. You know, Messiah said, it was recorded in Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one little tittle in no wise shall pass from the law or Torah till all be fulfilled." Now, the thing that I'm pointing out is this is part of the Torah or the law, and these have not been fulfilled, and that's why this is going to be so great for you to tell us about the other feasts that aren't fulfilled yet, so then that means the Torah is still in effect for us.
Amen.
Amen. So you can go on now. I've said everything that I've planned.
All right. Well, you know, I guess... I look back at the spring feast, and of course we can, with the New Testament revelation, we can certainly see that, you know, very clearly. But you know, as we look at the last three feasts are part of the festival, the third festival of the year,
mm-hmm.
the fall harvest festival that God had for the, you know, for Israel.
Well, that word harvest ought to give us some kind of a clue.
Yeah, it ought to. You know, and Jesus said, you know, he's talking about parables of the kingdom. He talked about, you know, the wheat and the tares, and he said, you know, this is the harvest, you know, is at the end of the age.
Amen.
And the harvesters are the angels, you know, and they will separate out, you know, wheat from the tares. But, you know, the final harvest festival incorporates three feasts. The first feast is the Feast of Trumpets, and we should that one should be really easy for us to see. One, like you said, Pastor Dan, it's the harvest feast, and you know we know that Jesus taught that the harvest feast would come at the end of the age. And then, you know, when he described his coming in the Olivet Discourse, I'll refer to Matthew 24 and verse 30, you know, he said the Son of Man would come, you know, on the clouds of the sky with great power and glory, and that he would send his angels, there the harvesters are, with a trumpet call.
Amen.
The trumpet here, it appears to be the last trumpet, because as you study the Feast of Trumpets, this is how that feast started, is that unlike the other feast in the year, the Feast of Trumpets came at the beginning of the month. As a matter of fact, it came at the first day of the month at the
Amen.
New moon.
Amen.
And what happened, you know, the way the course the Israelites would be anticipating the new moon and the beginning of the feast, and they would, each morning, they would sound a trumpet call as a warning, you know, and so each morning, we'd get a trumpet call, and you would know that it's getting close, but it's not yet.
Right.
But then, when the new moon was spotted by the priest, then they would have this long and final blast of trumpets that would signal the gathering for the harvest feast.
Amen.
Now, you think about this, and Christ talked about, you know, he would send his angels, and they would gather his elect. In other words, at that trumpet call, which is the last trumpet, the Feast of Trumpets, it's the gathering, the appointed
right,
the appointed time of God's plan for his gathering and final harvest feast. And of course, Revelation depicts the trumpets. As a matter of fact, we see seven trumpets described in Revelation. And these, as best I can determine, these trumpets start at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years.
Amen.
I drew that conclusion by looking at what happened at the first trumpets, and you see things happening to the earth and the sea, in other words, there's things that are going on that are affecting our environment, our planet.
Right.
And that's when Satan is thrown out of heaven in Revelation 12, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, you see that the angels declare, you know, that Satan's been thrown out and salvation has come, but woe to the earth, to the earth and the sea, because the devil and his angels have been thrown down.
Yeah, amen.
So I made that connection. Now, that's, you know, that's just a kind of a deduction of logic, but appears that the first trumpets would start about at the beginning of the last 3.5 years.
Right.
And of course, the final trumpet, you go through that succession of six trumpets, and then there's the seventh trumpet, which is the last one in the series.
Right.
And you look carefully at it in Revelation 11 and verse 15, and it says, when the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, it says that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. So Christ has returned, and he's taken the world back, and he's established his kingdom.
Right, amen.
At the seventh trumpet. Now, for those of you that, you know, are really looking carefully at the trumpets, you also are probably familiar with Paul's description of a resurrection and of the dead and the resurrection of the living that he said that would take place at the last trumpet. Well, you know, and everybody wants to know, you know, when is the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the living, when Christ gathers up his church? Well, Paul said it's at the last trumpet.
Yeah, amen.
And of course, we find the seventh and last trumpet in Revelation, and we see that the first thing that we see is that God, you know, Christ has returned and he's set up his kingdom. But then it goes on to say that he judges the saints. In other words, he judges, you know, all the saints,
right,
and rewards them. So this is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ when his, you know, his own, his
right,
followers are judged. And I think that to me is an indication of the second feast in the harvest, which is called the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Now, I think that is the finale, if you will, of the atoning sacrifice that Christ has already made on the cross, but yet we haven't realized the fullness of that until, I believe, we receive our resurrected bodies.
Yeah, amen. It says that throughout the Word, it says that we have actually, haven't gained our eternal life yet until we get that body. We've gained a promise, as long
right,
as we don't mess up, you know, and give it away.
We got a deposit, right?
Right, and exactly. And so that's when it's fulfilled. You're right. I agree
yeah,
with you.
And then then you're literally, you know, that completion of that atonement sacrifice, and then, you know, Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and then of course when he comes, those that, you know, have been waiting for him, and that's, you know, the change that Paul said would happen at the last trumpet, or we can see occurring there in Revelation at the seventh trumpet, which, you know, obviously is the last.
Amen.
And, you know, so the Feast of Trumpets is a very powerful prophetic indication to us about the return of Christ and about the resurrection, and it fits right in with the feast that God gave Israel as indications of his appointed times.
Well, let me say this for just a moment. And folks, I'm praying that you can start to see how these, even if you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian, you know, what do these have to do with me? This has everything to do with you, because we were told we were children of light and not children of darkness, and that while Messiah would come as a thief to the world, he wouldn't come to you as a thief. And here's why. Because he's letting us know with these feasts when he's coming, what the signs are, and what the warnings are.
Right, because if we make that connection that this is the next feast, you know, we would see it coming with these warning trumpets, these things that are occurring in Revelation. Of course, you know, you and I have discussed the beginning of birth pains and some of the other things that are also indicated in the Bible as occurring before the return of Christ.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, you know, and about the Feast of Trumpets, you know, it's sitting there, what better thing? You know, they're announcing it, telling you with the trumpets, warning you ahead of time that it's coming upon you. You know, and even the new moon is, you know, they used to have, there would have to be at least two witnesses to spot the new moon. And they would yell up at the top of the Temple Mount, you know, that they had sighted it. And when they had finally had two witnesses, two good reports, they would call them up to the top of the Temple Mount and say, come up here. And they would come up there, and then they would blow the trumpet and announce that a new moon had happened. You know, that's also a shadow picture of the two witnesses. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And that's, see, so by studying these things, man, the end times just open up to you like unbelievable.
Well, there's another thing about this, you know, maybe we, you know, because this would take a minute and really interesting. I don't know, how much time we got before break?
Well, we've got, if my watch is right here, we've probably got at least a minute, and then we can talk afterwards. We've got about a minute and a half.
All right. Well, you know, there's when Christ gave the Olivet Discourse to his followers and telling about the things that would happen before his return, you know, one of the things that everybody seems to be very aware of is they said, nobody knows the day or hour of his return.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up.
And a lot of people have, you know, have expanded upon that to mean that we wouldn't know the time of his return or the general time of his return. But, you know, Christ didn't say we wouldn't know the general time. He said we wouldn't know the day or hour. If we're careful about how we interpret the word, we shouldn't put words in his mouth, but we should listen carefully to what he said. I'll explain when we come back after break what the Lord has shown me about the Feast of Trumpets, the new moon, and why it is that, you know, we might not be able to know.
We'll be back in a minute.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Grandma used to say, Johnny, eat your greens. She knew something about health that we've mostly forgotten. Most of us get little or no greens daily. Four Spectrum Chlorella gives five times the chlorophyll of any plant on earth for cleansing inside out, and 50 times more lutein than spinach for healthy eyes. All eight essential amino acids, over 60% high-grade protein, and numerous vitamins and minerals. The cracked cell wall absorbs toxins, even heavy metals, and flushes them out of your system. 4-Spectrum Clean Green Superfood is a whole food concentrate with no negative side effects. 100% plant-source dehydrated chlorella, pressed into tablets, using no binders, fillers, excipients, colorings, or other additives. 1 month supply, $35. 2 months, only $60 post-paid. Read more at 4spectrum.us. That's number 4spectrum.us. Call 903-714-7767. That's 903-714-7767. Order today.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, the ever-present threat of terrorist attack, and the danger of economic collapse are all signs of God's wake-up call in these perilous times. In the coming tribulation, those who fear the Lord will have places of refuge, as declared in Proverbs 14:26. The Lord has spoken to Terry's heart to provide one of these places of refuge. Terry is looking for like-minded people to buy 20-acre parcels, totaling 360 acres. To get more information and details, contact Terry at manchildministries.org. That's manchildministries.org. Or call Terry at 509-689-3529. That's 509-689-3529. We've all heard that times are tough all over. However, some Americans have been hit harder than others. The homeless and disadvantaged need the same things we all need. So please consider donating what you can to Messiah's Branch Ministry. Messiah's Branch Ministry operates a mission in Wichita, Kansas that cares for the homeless and disadvantaged. If you would like to help Americans who are suffering through hard times, please consider donating to Messiah's Branch. You can do so on their website at www.messiahsbranch.org. That's www.messiahsbranch.org. Or you can email to elem@kans.com. That's elem@kans.com. Or call 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682.
This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, and we're speaking with Richard Perry, author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days, and we're talking about the Feast of the Lord. And we left off talking about the Feast of Trumpets, and he has much more for us, I'm sure. Are you there with us, Richard?
Yep, I'm here.
Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice.
Let me just plug my website again, you know, because information about the feast is right on there. You go to the top of it, right to the right-hand side of that new book I've got out, the cover. I've got Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. And then there's another little article on what it's called, Therefore Be Ready. And I'll talk about that in a minute, too. But, you know, you can go to that website. It's www.lastdaysmystery.info and find out some information there.
Okay, let me say this. Folks, there's also, if you find our podcast or our website, and for some reason you can't find him, which is really easy to find, there is a link with in the archives to his website in both places, so it's really easy to find. The other thing I was going to say is, don't you have on your website now, have you started putting radio programs on yet? Or?
Yeah, I've got several, you know, when I've been a guest on your show, Pastor Dan, I've got a couple of those. And I've started my own radio broadcast here locally, and I put that on my website so people can get it as well.
Praise
been on a couple other ones, and been on a TV spot in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got that. So people can people that want to get the audio visual stuff as well as the articles and other things are available.
Amen. Atlanta Live. I got on that program too a few years back, and I thought it was a wonderful program.
It just gets, you know, any way to get the word out these days.
Yeah, amen.
And, but here's another interesting thing that I learned about as I was studying about the Feast of Trumpets and the fact that it's a feast that comes at the first day of the month at the new moon,
right,
at the beginning of the month. One, you know, a new moon is kind of like a silhouette of the moon. It's not real bright. But there's something else that Christ told us about is at his return. And if you go to Matthew 24, verse 29, Christ says that he will come immediately after the tribulation of those days. But there's a sign that occurs just before his return. And he says, the sun and the moon and the stars will go dark. And this is also, you find, as a sign of the coming day of the Lord with the prophet Joel, when he says in Joel 2:31 that the sun and the moon will go dark before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, if you put that in your mind, that the, you know, basically the world is going to go dark, the heavens are not going to shed their light at this particular time, and then you remember that, wait a minute, the beginning of the fall feast gathering is signaled at the trumpet call,
right?
When, like you were saying, Pastor Dan, the two witnesses see the new moon and they make that declaration. However, at that particular time, the sun, the moon, the stars will be dark. Nobody will see the day, that new moon. And nobody will know the day or hour.
Oh, wow.
In the Jewish tradition, in the lunar cycle, they would be looking for the day, because that new moon would signal not only the day, which is at fall on here or there, but it was the very hour of the appointed time of the fall harvest feast beginning at the Feast of Trumpets.
Amen.
But the sky would be dark.
Yeah, that's quite a revelation. In fact, I got chills over that one.
Nobody would know.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I never thought about that.
The trumpet call this time will not come from the temple on earth, even though there will be one, but it will come, you know, from God, you know, come from heaven.
Amen.
And then the gathering will be not only, you know, a gathering in the natural, it will be a gathering in the supernatural.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you know, Christ says the angels are the harvesters. You know, if you wonder how the people that are left alive are going to get caught up, they're going to get caught up by the angels, apparently.
Amen. That's what it says.
They're the harvesters. Anyway, but I think the more we know about these Jewish and the feasts of God that he gave in the law, the more we can understand the appointed times of the second coming, especially after we've seen the appointed times fulfilled at the first coming.
Yeah, amen.
And it's, you know, it's a shame that not more of the church is aware of these feasts and their significance. I think that if more people understood about the final harvest feast, there would be less confusion about when God is going to gather up his church. You know, we wouldn't have a lot of this pre-tribulation kind of ideas, because it doesn't match with the appointed times.
Right, amen. Well, you know, you walk so many churches, and, you know, praise the Lord, I'm glad that any church, you know, is there to put forward Messiah, but, you know, there's a lot of churches that you'll come into, you know, and they'll hand you, you know, the New Testament or the Book of John and say, this is all you need. And basically trying to do away with, you know, the Tanakh or the Old Testament. And, you know, that is God's instructions for men. You know, we have so much there that points to this time. And, you know, they could clearly see that all things weren't fulfilled, because, you know, you can read through the prophets and everything, and you can clearly see that that hasn't been fulfilled yet. But by doing away with it and getting a person not to, you know, read it or look at it, then, you know, we lose so much.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, there's one thing that, you know, if you look carefully at what Christ said, you know, when he was, you know, he said he desired earnestly to celebrate this the Passover meal with his disciples, you know, before he went to the cross.
Amen.
But he's, you know, he also said in there that feast, that celebration wouldn't find completion until it found completion in the kingdom.
Right.
In other words, there's something about the Passover, you know, celebration, that priest, and maybe it leads to the first fruits, the fact that he's the first fruits of the resurrection, and that when he returns, the final part of that resurrection will be completed, our resurrection, and maybe that's the completion, you know, that he was talking about.
Well, amen. You know, it talks, not to interrupt you, but, you know, we find in Revelation 19, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lord, and that's a feast. And that is after, you know, when we have been resurrected, and then, you know, it says it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
So praise
and
the Lord.
And I will often tried to figure out, you know, that, you know, the feast, you know, because Christ talks about the Passover feast finding completion in when the kingdom comes.
Right.
And then, of course, you've got the harvest feast. And I've always tried to wonder, you know, I've always wondered, you know, is that feast that, you know, the one that we think of as the wedding banquet,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's one of the, that's the harvest feast. I'm thinking it's that final harvest feast in the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
But, you know, maybe he's talking about when he completes, when everything sees its fulfillment.
I don't know. That's one of those things that I think that we're going to have to wait on.
Yep.
Find out for sure. But praise the Lord, we haven't you haven't brushed on Tabernacles yet.
I know it. That's really that's the biggie, because you know the Feast of Tabernacles is such a huge feast that the you know the ancient priest, you know the old Jewish priest, they just called it the holiday. You know,
mm-hmm.
just the day, you know, or that, but it was like, you know, it was so huge. It was, if each of these feasts, you know, are considered to be a high holy day, but this particular feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, was the most joyous, the biggest, and, you know, most significant of the feasts. And of course, as you think about it, it's, you know, the remembrance of it, of Tabernacles, is because God said, I want you to remember that as I brought you out of bondage from Egypt, that, you know, you lived in tents and booths. And, you know, and what I'm doing, when I bring you into the Promised Land, you know, that had the vision of, you know, a more permanent kind of a place.
Right.
And, you know, and then the analogies to our situation, you know, while we're in this body, this temporary tent, you know, we're essentially in the wilderness.
Right, amen.
And moving toward what God has as the Promised Land, which is his kingdom come, which is when we get our resurrected bodies, which are our permanent dwellings. I mean, once you start to see the analogies between these appointed times and what he was showing in terms of the remembrance of bringing them out of Egypt and
mm-hmm.
what he's bringing us out of and into, you know, essentially the Feast of Tabernacles not only is when we, you know, we've taken off this temporary tent and put on the permanent tent, or this perishable body and put on the imperishable and the mortal, and I just always love this, is that mm-hmm. we become immortals.
Amen.
We live forever. We're, you know, the kingdom is eternal, the kingdom is not perishable, and flesh and blood, which is perishable, can't inherit the imperishable. So
amen.
We must become imperishable ourselves to inherit and own an imperishable kingdom.
Some yeah. people, well, most people teach, and we do, we're in agreement with it, that the Messiah, that's when he was literally born, was on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, when he came and tabernacled among us. In fact, if you look it up in 1 John, you know, it says he came and dwelt among us, but it would have been tabernacle among
right.
us. We'll also be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, will be the only feast that tells us that we'll be going up to Messiah once a year. Would be kept during the 1,000-year reign, which you haven't talked about that either.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, that's talked about a lot in the Old Testament prophets.
Right.
But
we finally see the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles actually in Revelation 21:1. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be with his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. At that point, we believe that the Feast of Tabernacles is then finally fulfilled.
Amen. Well, and there's another aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles, too, is that when that time comes, is God himself will tabernacle permanently with his people. Because
Amen.
We will be with him forever.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, I know. He says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, or any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a wonderful thing.
That is certainly going to be something to look forward to. No wonder it's the most joyous feast of all the feasts.
Oh, amen. And, we celebrate it every year. We find it a joyful time. And people, Messianic people, we gather around the country together and tabernacle, and they learn, different things from different Messianic people, and it's just really a wonderful time. It's a time of remembrance to remember that, yes, we're under God's protection, and yes, that, it's going to be soon, and he's going to be coming, and we'll be tabernacling with him.
Right. Another thing, Pastor Dan, that I really haven't come to a complete answer on this, but I think a lot of your listeners might be interested. As I've studied these feasts, and as I've studied prophecy about the return of Christ, there's some really interesting passages that I'm still trying to fully understand. For instance, let me see if I can. There's an article I've got on my website about this, but there's some things in the Old Testament, I think it's in Isaiah, where he talks about, in Isaiah 26:19, he goes, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise, you dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little while until his wrath has passed by. And if you look at that, and then if you look at Christ's admonition to the church to be awake, alert,
right,
and ready, for when the Lord will come, at the which hour, which watch of the night,
right,
it almost brings to my mind that maybe at some aspect or some time during the approach of Christ, that I don't know if this is for the church that are gathered up, or this might be for the remnant of Israel that hasn't really, declared their faith in Christ and, until his appearance, is that it's as though there's a group of people that go into the shelter. In other
right.
words, at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Israelites would build these temporary shelters, and they would live in them.
Right, amen.
They would take shelter, and then they'd build little bonfires. They'd be camping out in these shelters.
Well, they still do that. We build what we call a sukkah outside the house. It's made out of palm fronds, not palm fronds, that's what the Bible says, but any kind of good branches and things and flowers we can find, and we eat under it and look up the stars out of remembrance for this. So it's, but in Israel, and they still do it, they still go out and live in them every year.
Well, and I'm wondering, God had, he had a plan for Noah and
right.
how he would deliver Noah. He had something Lot and his family had to do, to avoid that judgment that was coming. And it would be kind of interesting to me if he was using this picture of the booths and tabernacles, these shelters, to protect the remnant. And another thing that comes to my mind about this was on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
When Christ appeared in his glory and Moses and Elijah were with him.
Right.
And, of course, Peter, not knowing what he was saying, he said, good that I'm here, or we're here, let us put up shelters for you. And I think it may have been that he recognized that was, the time of the Feast of Tabernacles when he appeared. Now, maybe he didn't realize any of that, but that's what he said. And, there aren't superfluous words in the Bible. In other words,
right.
They all have meaning to us.
All of them have meaning, amen.
Because Peter didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe it's something for us.
Amen.
Maybe it's something that, wow, you know, he's talking about booths and shelters, which has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm. That's quite a connection.
I'm thinking it's a mystery that we need to, you know, be more alert to, because there are several things that would indicate, you know, Christ says, go in, you know, and shut the doors behind you, be ready to open the door when the bridegroom comes, you know.
Right.
You know, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. I mean,
right.
A lot of pictures that kind of relate to these booths and tabernacles at the time of the
amen
at the fall harvest.
I never looked at the, but I'm going to be re-looking at scripture as I'm reading and looking for those things.
Yeah.
Amen. That's something more to be studied out. I'm like you. I you know, just at this moment, I don't know, but it's sure something worth looking at. We've got some time left. What I want to skip you over to tell them about the Sabbath rest. You know, we've got a little bit of time. Thousand-year reigns.
Yeah, well, this is a big thing to me, too. You know, actually, this hit me. You know, I kind of had seen this, but, you know, when the Penguin Group came to me and asked me to write the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days, you know, and I started, you know, I realized that I would have to explain the last days and explain the first days, and then when I started looking at the days more intensively, it became, you know, kind of very obvious that, you know, we are sitting at, you know, nearly at end of 6,000 you know, years in terms of biblical history.
Right.
From Adam to Abraham, it was about 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ, it was about 2,000 years. And from Christ to where we are, it's about 2,000 years. Well, folks, that's 6,000 years.
Right.
A day to the Lord is like a 1,000 years, and a 1,000 years like a day.
Amen.
Well, that would mean that we're getting close to finishing up 6 days. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament says, you know, in chapter 4, that, you know, somewhere God has spoken about the seventh day, and he describes it as the Sabbath rest, and nobody's entered that Sabbath rest as yet.
Right.
In other words, that the seventh day is a day which, you know, according to God, would be 1,000 years. And, of course, we recognize that Revelation says that the reign of Christ will be 1,000 years or one day. And you go like, wait a minute. You know, could this all, you know, could the Sabbath rest be the final day? Could we be that close to it? You know, we look at the signs of the times and we look at this whole gospel timetable, and it looks like everything's pointing to the fact that, you know, we're right at the end of the age here, you know, within the next 20, 30 years or something, by the looks of it.
Right. Amen.
Maybe sooner than that if things accelerate. But it's this, I think if the church was alert to the fact that God has never changed the Sabbath, you know,
right,
to the first day of the week, which is Sunday, we might be more cognizant of the times, in that the Sabbath is the Lord's day. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord. You know, that's possessive.
Right, amen.
It's that last 1,000-year period. Matter of fact, we know Christ comes on the day of the Lord.
Amen.
And if we associated that with the reign of Christ, we associated it with the Sabbath rest. Remember that Christ, when he was talking about the resurrection in the Gospel of John, he was saying, you know, I will raise you up at the last day. Over and over again, he said,
right,
you know, the Father gives, you know, to me, and I will raise them up at the last day. Here's an interesting little story. I think this is just kind of cute. We all know the story about Mary and Martha, you know, and how Mary did the right thing and Martha didn't, you know, at this one encounter.
Right.
And Christ admonished Martha for, you know, for not, you know, paying attention and being too busy with everything. And, you know, I just know that after that, every time Christ, you know, taught to the group, that Martha was right there paying attention.
Amen.
So when
when her brother Lazarus had died and was in the tomb, you know, Jesus said to her, you know, your brother will rise again. Now, Martha said, oh, I know. He will rise again at the last, in the resurrection, at the last day. Now, because that's what he had taught. And
yeah,
she,
amen.
And she was letting him know that she had been paying attention. So they were both talking about the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
He who believes in me, who dies and believes in me, will yet live. That's the resurrection of the dead. And he who believes in me at the last day will never die.
Yes, that, amen.
That's the resurrection of the living, or what we call the rapture, you know?
Right.
You're caught up and changed before, without ever dying.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and I'm going, so right there, Christ was talking to Martha, and he gave her a glimpse at the resurrection of those who hadn't died. And as far as I can see, you know, it's one of the
right.
one of the indications when Jesus, you know, spoke about that. Of course, you know, Paul said
right,
in 2 Thessalonians that by the Lord's own word, you know.
Yeah, amen. Right,
you,
there it is.
You know. Anyway, you know, it's some really interesting stuff. And when you see the significance of the Sabbath, the gospel message,
mm-hmm.
you become more cognizant of the significance of the seventh day and that its future role. And it's a shame that the church today, you know, has kind of forgotten what day is the Sabbath.
Well, something you said there, you said, now we're in agreement, of course, that the last time period, the seventh day, is, you know, a Sabbath rest. And we're also agreeing that Messiah is the resurrection and life. So, therefore, he is our Sabbath rest.
And, that's right.
Right. So, we rest in him. We turn our burdens over to him. And he carries them. And so, praise the Lord, the weekly Sabbath is a shadow picture of Messiah. And, you know, that's a time that we forget about the world. We shut off the world away from us, and we concentrate on the Lord, and we don't worry about our problems, and we get both physical rest and spiritual rest. And that is a shadow picture of what we'll get with Messiah in 1,000 years.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, Richard, we're getting pretty close to the end here. It's about 7:56. Why don't you go ahead and repeat your address and everything so they can get your book?
Yeah, by all means, go to my website, which is www.lastdaysmystery.info. Both my books, the first book, of the Last Days, Listen, I Tell You Mystery, you can get on Amazon.com, or you can get from me off my website. Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days is, of course, available in just about any bookstore you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get that off of Amazon.com. You can go to my website, click on the book cover, and you can go to Amazon and buy it.
Right.
Go to the website, get a lot of information there. I got World Watch kind of information. I got links to Pastor Dan's Messiah's Branch. You know, all the good things you'd want to be able to get to.
Amen. Well, they've also, it's got your email address over there too, so they can email and ask you a question.
By all means, I love to correspond with folks as they're searching out, you know, what the meaning of some of this prophecy is.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, it's wonderful having you on, and maybe you'll come back on sometime. I really enjoy having you. You're easy to talk with, and which is great. So praise the Lord. We'll be looking forward to it, and
Pastor,
you be blessed,
anytime,
my brother.
Just give me a call.
Okay, thanks so much. Be blessed, my brother.
Thank you. You
all
too.
Right. Bye-bye and good shalom.
Bye-bye.
And shalom to you. Well, praise the Lord, folks. I've got just a short period of time left. Pray about supporting this mission over here in Wichita to the homeless and poor. It's a blessed thing to do. Some people are appointed to do certain things. There's many different gifts of spirit in the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. And so support those that are doing the work, even if it isn't me, you know. Support those that are doing Messiah's work. And the poor, next time you see a homeless guy or you drive over a bridge, think about who's underneath that bridge, because there might be somebody living there. And I know the church goes out to other countries, like this one fellow told me today. They're getting ready to go to Mexico next week to build a house for a Mexican family. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, we have family right here That's under bridges. So praise the Lord. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Until next week, may He give you peace. Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.